Mr. James Craig, Reel 9. Now, you mentioned you were on the rangefinder. Of course, we've done the cruising stations on the Fogler, but we haven't actually done your action stations.
Yeah.
Now, what was your action station in the Fogler that you were actually at in this
action? Action stations on the Fogler, I was on the rangefinder. I was the rangefinder crew. I was the rangefinder trainer.
Now, tell me about that again. Is it the same as before, or was it a different model?
No, it's the same as before. It was still the same rangefinder. It was not till a bit later that they changed it, and they made it into, from just being a rangefinder, they made it into an HA director. HA, you know, and they could supervise the even the low angle guns from there. But that was later. I think that was about 1942 they did that, when we did a big refit. And they changed it and made it into a proper fire control director.
But this time it's just the same one, and that was your action station.
Yeah, all there was up there was me and the range taker. In the Mediterranean it was fine, because you were perched up there in the open, and what I liked about it, you could see everything that was going on. And what the fellas down in the boiler room and that thought, I don't know. Mind you, when we were in the cold weather, they had the advantage because they were down in the warm and I was stuck up in the cold. But when we were in the Mediterranean, most of the time, it was okay. There wasn't any problems. There wasn't any problems.
Now, what's the next thing you remember? What's the next thing that happened after that? The Italian fleet escaped, but one hit on it,
That's right, the Italian fleet went off back home. We got a call one day that some merchant ships from North Africa were taking supplies into the south of France, rubber and stuff, which the Germans would be using, and they sent us out to intercept these and capture them.
What do you remember of that?
We chased this a number of ships actually. We chased them and they went into territorial waters, and we went in into territorial waters, which we shouldn't have done.
Spain or?
No, France. We went to French territorial waters. And of course, that was what the unoccupied bit of France, wasn't it, Dan?
Of course, I see what you mean,
They were in the unoccupied bit of France. I think it was the Charles Plumier, the ship was called. We sorted it out and tried to get it, but... I think we failed. We did get one of the merchant ships, and that was loaded with fruit. And we had quite a few cases of oranges off that. Yeah, so it was quite good, really. But the Charles Plumier, I believe, went back to North Africa. And the Germans got the rubber in the end, from what I can gather, from what I've read. But at the time we didn't, and of course we had blotted our copybook by going into territorial waters. On the way back to Gibraltar, the French sent some of their Glen Martin planes over and gave us a bit of a bombing, and retaliation for going into their territorial waters. So the French were bombing us then.
Did you have much trouble with bombing in these early days?
Yes.
Can you talk a bit about what it was like? Was it Italian or German air attacks mainly? This French one was one
first,
off.
At first time we sighted the Italian fleet that I was talking about, we were attacked by quite a number of Italian bombers. They did mostly... I recall at the time, high-level bombing. used to see them coming in. Of course, the trouble was on the Faulkner, our main armament only went up to about 45 degrees, so you couldn't shoot at aeroplanes that were high above you. You know, you can, when they were coming in, you could see them low down. But once they got above about 45 degrees, you'd lost it. Short-range armament only had a very short range, so all the planes had to do was fly up in that bit of space up there, and you couldn't touch them. However, the Renown had an excellent anti-aircraft armament. She was always with us. And the Ark Royal, the same, had. Mostly, when they did these attacks, they went for the big ships. They went for the aircraft carrier, the Ark Royal. Once or twice, we saw it practically disappear from all the bomb spikes, and we thought she must have got hit. And then she steamed out, you know, so she got a big cheer. Completely covered it, you know, completely obliterated it from where we were looking. You couldn't see anything except bomb splashes. And we thought, oh, crumbs, you know. But she steamed out through the other end, which was pretty good. They went off, and sitting up on the rangefinder, the one or two that did fall somewhere near it, I used to think, you know, they went off with a thumping great crack, you know, and a big gout of flame. I thought, well, if that had dropped in our upper deck, it wouldn't have done us much good, you know. Yeah. But we were bombed regularly, practically, in every convoy we went on.
But high level.
High level, yeah.
Was it pretty inaccurate then? I mean...
Well... It wasn't inaccurate. It wasn't inaccurate, really. But somebody once told me, you know, you used to get near misses and straddles and all sorts of things. You know, if you think of sitting up on your ceiling and trying to drop a marble into a matchstick in your bath, you know, that's how good you've got to be to hit a ship at sea, you know, from high-level bombing. And... it used to be pretty accurate, but most, I can't remember any of the big ships at that time being hit by them.
No.
After the high level bombing, it started to use torpedo planes.
Italian or German?
Italian.
Now, what were attacks by them like?
They were around. Three engine, I think they were called SM-79s, three engine planes, one in the middle and one in each wing. And they used to come in, usually just a few of them, you know, and drop torpedoes. I remember in one convoy, the destroyer on our port side, the Fearless, was it the Fearless? One of our flotilla anyway, I think it was the Fearless of Foresight, can't remember,
doesn't matter, I think, look it up,
got torpedoed by one of these planes, and it hit her in the down aft in the after end, and her after magazine exploded, so she got sunk. Yeah, she got sunk. The foresight, pretty sure. She got some just on our starboard side. Then, of course, when we started running more and more convoys, the Germans joined in from
now,
Italy.
Who are these convoys to? This is to Malta, is it?
Yeah, to Malta, yeah. We were running convoys to Malta.
Well, tell us about the German air attacks on the Malta convoys.
By this time, when they got there, they had high-level bombers, torpedo bombers, mostly torpedo bombers and Stuka aircraft. Because by the time you got somewhere near Malta, you were getting very close to Italy, and you were well within range of all the aircraft that they had, you know, that the Germans had. So we got attacked by all and sundry, really, on the Malta convoys, not on the aircraft, E-boats, you know, the little patrol boats, and they were quite effective on one coy, sinking some ships. Yeah.
What was a typical Malta convoy like? Take us through what it was like from start to finish.
Well,
for you.
Yeah. Well, from the start, they used to sail the ships into the. They used to gather the ships at Gibraltar for the convoys. And to put them off the guard, we used to steam into the Atlantic first. But they reckoned they had spies in Spain who reported on the movements of all the ships in and out of Gibraltar. Turned back, and you'd only gone for the first few days, the first couple of days, you were out of range of the German and Italian aircraft. When you got in range, as soon as you spotted you, you knew that you were going to get air attacks until until you finished getting your convoy through to Malta. In fact, some of the convoys to Malta, they lost quite a lot of merchant ships. I think the big one was Pedestal, which we were on, a convoy called Pedestal, when they tried to run the supplies through to, and about four of the ships actually survived, one of them badly damaged. A very famous picture of an oil tanker, or a tanker, the Ohio, coming in to Malta, full of holes and down to her gunnels, nearly sinking, you know. But the rest of the ships got sunk, and we lost quite a lot of ships as well.
And what about fatigue? I mean, did you get any chance to rest, or were you, you know?
Sometimes you didn't get very much rest. If you were, once you got within range of the German and Italian aircraft from, I think it was Sicily they came from, German and Italian aircraft from Sicily, you didn't get much rest because you could be under attack at night, and you were more or less closed up at your action stations all the time. And that period will only last, but by the time you saw the convoy through, about 2 days, because as soon as you took the convoy in, or we spent a lot of time escorting aircraft carriers in to fly aircraft in for the relief of Malta. And as soon as we did that, we turned around and belted back for home. So you were only a couple of days, really, where you were in range of all these aircraft. On a couple of occasions, we did go into Malta itself. Of course, it was just as bad while you were in Malta, because they were getting heavily attacked all the time.
This business, how tired did you get? I mean, what effect did it have on you? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you did get very tired. Fellas would have been a quick snooze inside the gun shield, you know, but obviously everybody couldn't go to sleep, otherwise you would have been neglecting your duty, wouldn't you? While you were closed up at action stations, you were supposed to be immediately ready for anything. So it was just a matter of keeping going, really. You did get pretty tired. You did get pretty tired.
Did they give you any tablets? I think it's tablets.
No.
Did it ever affect you so that you weren't thinking right? You were so knackered you couldn't sort of concentrate? Because you'd got quite a skillful job.
You did get very tired. You could get very tired. Actually, on the position where you were on the rangefinder, if there wasn't any immediate action, we used to come down from the rangefinder down to the back of the bridge, where you could, you know, relax a little bit. But of course, as soon as anything happened, you were back up there again.
Now, I'll come back to when you... Did you actually hit much You know, I mean, because you've got this problem with the low angle thing.
Oh, yeah.
You've only got the short range, I presume, the Elegance.
Yeah. That's where, actually, when they started using torpedo bombers, or when they used torpedo bombers as opposed to angle, you got a better chance of shooting up them, because they came in fairly low down in the water. And we did actually hit one just as it flew over our bows. And the shell hit it right in the middle. I can still remember seeing the pilot. You know, he was nearly as frightened as I was, I think, because it was. Yeah, and the shell hit it right in the middle. Oh, terrible! And I think it was the first shot. We'd rushed up. The gun screws had closed up. Trained the guns round, open fire, and the very first shot hit this torpedo plane right in the middle.
What effect did it have on the torpedo plane?
It just disintegrated and fell in the water, you know. We cheered. We didn't think about the poor guy that was driving it, you know.
And was that a one-off, or did you frequently shoot them down?
Not so much us, but some of the ships with a good anti-aircraft armament had a reasonable amount of success against aircraft, you know.
Enough to make it dangerous to attack you.
Yeah.
Now, when you got to Malta, what happened when you got to Malta? Because I interrupted you earlier. What happened when you got into Malta Harbour? What was it like?
We got into Malta Harbour, and the other thing they did was they dropped mines all around Malta, and we went into Malta Harbour. And they made everybody who wasn't on duty stand on the upper deck with a life belt on, because as we went through the entrance of the harbour, was a ship sunk right in the middle of the harbour that had been mined, you know. So the very dodgy bit that was, you know, we crept in there, and I think there were these acoustic mines, where if you went too fast, the acoustics from the propeller set the mine off, you know. So we had to creep in very gingerly into Malta Harbour, all there on the upper deck with the lifeboats on, waiting for the bang. Yeah.
And what happened then? You're in Malta, in the harbour. Is that Valletta, isn't it?
Valletta, yeah.
Grand Harbour.
We were in there. We had stores on the upper deck. Taking stores in on that upper deck. That's why we actually went in this time. They'd loaded various stores and things all on that upper deck, and we had to take them in. Unloaded all this stuff.
What kind of stores?
There was food. There was jerry cans with petrol in. I can't remember everything exactly. I know there was fuel, and there was also food. Stuffs.
And who got it ashore? Who did the donkey work?
Most of the donkey work was done by the dockyard people there, but we helped, of course, you know. Yeah.
Now, what was it like? You said it. You know, you're probably no safer in Malta Harbour than you were at sea, if not less.
You were damn sight worse, because you couldn't move. You couldn't move in Malta Harbour.
So one
of our ships got written off in Malta Harbour. She'd been damaged. They put her in dye dock in Malta Harbour, and she was a total loss by the time they'd finished with her.
Now, what were the this is air attacks, is it?
Air attacks,
what were they like?
Oh. Yes. While they were unloading all these stores, my chum and I went ashore. He was the radio operator. We went ashore, and we said, just in the letter. And the air raid sirens went, and they started bobbing, which was pretty horrendous, really. And he says, come on, and we nipped down. They had some caves in Malta, which they used as air raid shelters. And we got down there, and of course, a very Catholic country, Malta. And we got down there, and they were all praying. So my the chap who was with said, I think we're safer outside than we are down here. But we didn't. We stopped down there till the all clear went. But they made a terrible mess of Malta, you know.
Describe the damage. I mean, how much damage was done?
Oh, tremendous streets on both sides. and malt and Valletta and Sleema and most in the dock area, the streets were just rubble on both sides. Terrible mess.
Anything else happened while you were in Valletta?
Not really. We, as soon as we had unloaded the stores, we got out quick. As soon as it got dark, we shifted out. And the idea was to get through the straits past Pantelleria. Pantelleria, that's it. One of the little islands. Try and get past there before the got daylight again. And then you didn't have so long to go before you were out of range of the German aircraft. But you were in range for about 2 days. You were in range of their aircraft for about 2 days. Yeah. It was, and you knew every time that you went on a Malta convoy, you're going to get pasted, which we did.
What were you like? I mean, were you scared? I mean, how were you in yourself? Do you know, did you think about it?
It was worse waiting for it to happen. And when it actually happened, you were so busy doing what you were supposed to be doing, you know. And you see other ships sink, you didn't think yours were going to get sunk. But I must say, I didn't feel particularly scared. I wasn't terrified, you know. I wasn't scared. Apprehensive. A bit bothered. But I never actually got scared. Not as much as I did later on. I got a bit more scared later on.
Now, what happened next then?
Well, we ran these Malta convoys for... Well, we were there quite a long time, really. Until the beginning of 1942. Then they moved us. We used to escort convoys from there, halfway home, down to Freetown, down to Cape Town, Malta. We weren't always going to Malta. We did sweeps out into the Atlantic, if they had any reports. Some of the German warships were tied up in Brest, and they used to get information or intelligence that they'd moved, so they would send us out up round Brest to sweep up there to see if we could find them. So it wasn't always Malta. We used to go to take to various places. Spent quite a bit of time in Freetown actually on the convoy route down round the Cape.
Now, I presume the Freetown convoy was easier.
Yes, we used to get trouble mostly with submarines.
You didn't mention submarines in the Mediterranean. Was that not really part of the problem?
Not early on, but later on there was trouble with submarines in the Mediterranean. But it seemed to be at first, we didn't seem to have much trouble.
It was mainly air and e-boats?
Mainly air and e-boats at first.
Now, what about the submarine threat on these Freetown convoys?
Yes, they usually had big convoys, because, of course, they couldn't get troops and supplies out to the Middle East through the Mediterranean. You know, they just couldn't get them that way, so... To get troops and supplies, you had to go right down, round the Cape, and up the Red Sea, that way. So we used to escort them about halfway. We never used to get further than Cape Town. Go Freetown sometimes, then down to Cape Town, and then come back ready for the next convoy. They didn't have a very big escort, so you spent most of your time looking with the Erasmus for submarines. Quite often you'd get an echo on submarines, and you'd drop some depth charges to keep it down while the convoy got out of the way. But they used to spend ages. Our captain was captain at that time was called what was his first name? I don't want to be rude. Captain De Salis, I can't remember his first name. Excellent captain, four ring captain.
Hubert. And Hubert?
No, Captain De Salis. I can't remember his first name, but he was a very determined chap. And
well, let's talk a bit about him. What was he like, this Captain De Salis?
Very fair, a very nice chap indeed. An excellent.
Was he actually a captain, or was he?
No, he was a captain. He was a captain. Yeah, yeah. He was a captain, with Captain De Salis.
What was he like?
Very fair, nice chap. Not too tall.
Anthony De Salis. You've just
and the captain.
Him up.
Yeah.
And so. A Salis with just one L, I see, as well.
Yeah.
Now, why was he such a good captain? What do you think made him such a good captain?
I think he had plenty of experience. If you were under attack by aircraft, his manoeuvring of the ship was excellent. Excellent seaman. When you went into harbour, you couldn't fault his seamanship at all. He could handle that destroyer as though he was handling a picket boat, you know. Marvellous chap, really. Very fair. I don't ever think anybody fell foul of him. He was excellent, you know. He was strict chap, but fair. Strict, but fair.